16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Solita is a design agency and development agency. They are Finnish by origin, but are today with more than 1,700 employees working in six countries. I'm very pleased to welcome Outi Sivonen in 16 Minutes of Care. She is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Solita. Welcome. Welcome back, Outi.
Thank you.
In the first episode, we talked about your book and about your vision on human resources and how to take care of employees. How do you take care at Solita of your employees?
Well, I would say in many ways. First of all, our whole cultural aspiration is around building a culture where we combine high levels of autonomy with a culture of caring. So it's really in the essence. And of course, caring is also one of our core values. What it means for us, I would say that the foundation is actually not only in the practices or ways of working, it is also in the way how we have built, for example, the leadership structures. So I know many companies in the tech field that have started to go on the direction that, you know, there's so much autonomy and so much self-leadership that there's no leaders at all or no managers at all. We have wanted to put it in a way that everyone has an own people lead, which means that you always have a person that is caring for you, on your development, on your well-being, so you don't have to, you know, go around the organization thinking of, like, who can I reach to? And the thinking is that we support you in a way that you need the support. So, of course, the support is not the same for everyone, but it comes from the fact that we really support you. Of course, this is like a structural thing. But then I would say that what is really cultural for us is that the threshold or the level, the threshold of asking for help is really, really low. Our company is using Slack a lot, which means that we have, you know, I don't know how many Slack channels, like 1,500 or something. But we have a very, very big channels where people can really openly ask for help for any topic they want. And they get answers immediately from the community. So that, you know, the level, you know, you don't have to ponder around that, okay, is this question enough that I can ask for help? But it's really low threshold. So I would say, and the help is really, and this is what people say when we start at Solita, they usually say this also kind of the first thing, that this is something that they have never experienced, that it's so easy to get actually help.
Could you say then that employee care is something that has been taken care of by everybody in the company and not just the human resources department?
Definitely. It's a cultural trait that is also when we recruit people, we have our first interview, it's about cultural add. Like, how do you see the values and do you kind of feel that you can, like, be in this kind of community? And I would say also what we have been putting a lot of effort is all the mental health well-being mental health well-being practices that we have. We've been training, for example, on the topics of self-leadership and how to be part of a community for over 5 years. And also we have our own in-house coach where people can go and discuss about different topics. We're also using this virtual coaching, Auntie, which is working in all of our countries. And then we also have a lot of different mentoring and support, like peer support groups. So it's definitely in everything and not something run by, you know, some manager here or there.
Okay, this is interesting. I would like to discuss with you how you would apply the CARE principles. So it's not just care for people and the planet, it's collaboration, agility, reliability, empathy. We talked already quite a bit about collaboration, but how can you make it even better and how do you do it at Solita?
Well, I think what is kind of also common for us is that we are trying to foster a culture where it's, you know, that people are not working only kind of in the teams that they belong to, but rather we are building these different kinds of communities and groups. And kind of, we also talk about this community of communities. Since we are already that big, it means that you need to find the communities where you kind of feel belong, which is smaller. So we have different competence communities. We have networks where people kind of gather on any topic together, and it doesn't matter where you kind of in the organization chart where you are, and then we facilitate those kind of networks more and more every day. And also when it comes to diversity topics, for example, the employee resource groups are something that I find really kind of powerful. Like, well, for example, we have a Solita Women Forward group, which is run by Solitans. So there's no like a leader from the management team or somewhere who is doing it. It's the people are putting it together. So we're trying to kind of support time-wise and so forth, that this is not only allowed, but emphasized, that people would collaborate in all of those things that they find meaningful.
You were talking about diversity and inclusion. I believe you have about 27% of women working at Solita, because you, of course, work in a tech environment, and the issue with women in tech is way beyond Solita. It's really something that starts with education. How, for me, it's part of agility. How do you work on diversity and inclusion, and how do you try to change the tides?
Well, in many, many ways. Since 19, we have already been part of this UN Global Compact framework, where we get also kind of structures and framework on what are the topics that we can kind of leverage. And it's not only diversity, there's also environmental and sustainable business topics. But we are, of course, working on the two levels. On the diversity front, I think it's about recruitment, and how do we actually attract people into the, like you said, tech industry is not always the easiest to change the ties. But I think it's about role modeling. We have to be careful that the role models we have are very visible. So who are the speakers? Who is, you know, who uses the voice of the company, and which positions we have? For example, one of our big targets was that we don't have all male panels in the leadership teams, and which we have accomplished, that we don't have it anymore, but we had previously. So these kind of things are really important. What is the amount of, females in new hires? So are we changing? Is it gradually changing? And also the transparency, we have put together dashboards which are now visible for all the employees on all of these diversity topics, like what is the situation and how it is prolonging. And then another part is the inclusive culture. Like, how do we understand the different needs of different minorities, and how aware we are as employees on how people experience the culture? So what is inclusive for me might not be inclusive for you. So how do we, and we have put a lot of effort in creating the awareness, because otherwise you cannot build the actual kind of actions if you don't first build the awareness.
First see it. Yeah, totally. Reliability, it's all about trust, something very important. Psychological safety on the work floor is something very important. But I would like specifically go into younger generations. A lot of people, they have it very difficult with Generation Z, also sometimes with millennials, but let's focus on Generation Z. You have them already working for you. What is your experience with the youngest generation?
In terms of reliability or in general?
In general or reliability, you can pick both.
Well, I think one thing which is kind of visible is that, like I think what we discussed a bit in earlier, is that you have to live your values. So for them, it's not enough what you write on the, company report or something. They really want to see the actions. They want to see the examples. They want to see the kind of, what does it really mean? So talk is cheap. They have to have actions. Then on the other hand, I also see that you have to remember that the working life has become more and more complex. It's really speedy. There's like so much things happening at the same time. We are expecting really high levels of self-leadership and autonomy, at least in our company. So we have to give the support. We cannot just, throw the stuff to them and say that, well, try to manage. because they don't have the experience from the working world. It could be only a couple of years. So we have to give the, like I said, and that's why we have the caring support and caring atmosphere, that we have to be able to, you know, what is it that you need? And I think also the clarity when it comes to company targets and expectations and feedback. I actually read a study on this, that this generation is used to the feedback in the social media, where you get the instant, you know, the likings and the hearts or whatnot. So they're kind of expecting the same in the working life. So if you don't get the feedback, you might feel like, okay, this was not maybe good.
So the once a year evaluation is not enough.
Definitely,
for this generation.
No, definitely. And it has to be like real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here is also maybe a kind of a different expectations. So it could be also with the older generations that feedback is something that, okay, now something has gone wrong if I get the feedback. Whereas for younger generations, it's more like relaxed and maybe more, it should be more real time.
And it's an ongoing process.
Exactly,
for them.
Happening all the time.
Happening all the time. Mm.
Yeah.
If you have more than 1,700 people in so many countries, with more and more people who are constantly asking for feedback and with self-leadership being demanded, how can you show empathy?
I think it happens in everyday encounters. So empathy is not something that you, okay, let's have this empathy session once a year. Or it is the way, the tone of voice, it is how you reply to a message. Empathy is acknowledging if you see that there are fears or people are hesitant. You what I said earlier about people want to be seen and heard, you don't have to go and fix everyone's topics and issues. But you have to, you know, pause and say, hey, thanks for sharing that. I can see that this troubles you. Should we discuss more on this? You have to be, you have to build the trust in a way that you have enough encounters. Empathy is built when we are with each other. It's not something that we kind of, like said, that we would not meet each other and then we suddenly have empathy. It's like pausing and reflecting. And I think listening is something that is super important, that we kind of repeat all the time, but then we don't necessarily actually do. That when a person is approaching, that like, are you able to just pause and listen? We are so, so keen on solving the problems. So, and I think empathy is first and foremost that you take seriously what the other person is feeling and experiencing, even if it's not your experience.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that you say it's not about solving problems, it's just listening to them, and then the problem might solve itself, I suppose, if you just listen to them. And yeah, that's interesting, because we are indeed always in a problem-solving mood, right? I would like to dive a little bit into the technology part, because everybody is talking about artificial intelligence. Are you using it in recruitment processes?
We are using it, here and there, obviously, since we are a tech company and doing like everything it has to do with data. But it's still something that I think is... I think we are in the early stages to say that what will be the kind of the biggest effects, but I do see that there are many possibilities, and I think it will be, or at least I hope, I'm positive to think that it will help us with all the work that we have on the everyone's tables. But we are focusing a lot on AI, and we actually have had also for a long time also this ethical AI field, where we study not only like the things that we use, but also what our clients, we're consulting our clients on the use of ethical AI. Because obviously, when we think of AI and the things that we've been discussing on the cultural and empathy and whatnot, you can use it very well or you can use it very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, in the recruitment, we have to be aware that if we're using it to large extent, that we don't feed the biases to the AI, which we have. which we all have. So we're focusing a lot in recruitment, in training on the biases all the time, and we have been doing that. But I think what AI can be useful, for example, in recruitment, is that when you publish an ad, a job ad, how inclusive is the language? So mm-hmm. we have been, for example, testing that, you know, going through the ads, like how, and even the pictures, like how, what are these pictures representing? And what we talked earlier on, the examples, if we don't show the, you know, if the faces of the people in the ads are not something that you can relate to, you will not apply. Mm-hmm. So there are, like, I think a lot of possibilities, but then when it comes to, for example, candidate selection, I think we have to be careful not to feed the biases to the AI, because mm-hmm. then it will actually enforce it.
Mm. What is the biggest challenge for you in human resources?
That's a good question. I would say it relies somewhere what I said earlier about community needs versus individual needs. Like, how do you combine, how do you teach, how do you build the awareness of people in terms of how do we build the community together to be the best it can be, without sacrificing too much on all the individual needs. I think this is also on the society level, but definitely at least on the company cultures. Like, how do you facilitate that discussion so that it comes from the people and it's not kind of dictated from anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think that's a very nice topic to end with. It's complex, and being in business today is complex, but at least if we are open, if we are transparent, if we collaborate, and if we talk with each other, I believe we are making steps forward. Thank you so much, Oti, for being here. Thank you at home. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you, and take care.